times. I can never beat her. She's too savvy for that. She always figures it out. But she is great at throwing surprises. She surprised our daughter, Bailey, our third daughter, just 2 weeks ago by being there when her third daughter was born. And the celebration was beautiful. Mother, daughter, granddaughter, all crying together, weeping together. It was great joy and beautiful surprise. She gave me a surprise party one time, not around my birthday, not around any anniversary. She brought in people from all over in our lives just to celebrate what God had done in our journey. And it was beautiful. It was wonderful, except the part, I was 53, and people kept leaving me these cards that said, happy 60th. Because they thought, said, that's a little early. That's a little early. Now I'd take happy 60th. But this is a day in which God surprises us. Surprises the world with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the great surprise party, Easter morning. May we be surprised anew by it as we come to the gospel of resurrection. Again, hear the word of the Lord to you. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus, Lord Christ, Son of God and risen Savior of the world, you are risen from the dead indeed, trampling over death by death. You were raised by the Father and came back to life again with the same life and yet a completely new one to begin to make all things new, even us. We worship you today as risen Lord, together with the Father and the Spirit. Surprise us with your resurrection love and power today. We pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the King. Everything about his reign as King is different, unique, surprising. Theologians describe him as sui generis, as the one and only, that there's never been another like him. He's a king who comes, right, with choirs of angels announcing his birth, yet he's born as a babe in a manger. He grows up with royalty in his background, in his human family of origin, right in the house of David. Yet he grows up a peasant's child, a carpenter's son. He begins to speak and to teach and to talk about actually how his reign will come by his coming to be a king who would serve, not be served, but serve and give his life a ransom for many. He casts out demons. He heals people. He feeds multitudes. But then he continually says, "Don't talk about this. Don't tell anybody even what you've seen." Just surprising this king. And the ultimate surprise, right, is when he rises on Easter. He's made allusions to it all along the way in his journey of teaching and preaching. I'm going to have to die, and then I'm going to rise again. But they didn't catch it. The prophets had talked about this happening, made allusions to it all along the way. But nobody catches it. Everybody is caught off guard by Easter. And I think that's a good thing in a way. We're all called to be surprised by Easter. We have the privilege of Easter not being so much a test of your faith. Do I believe well enough? Have I got all the events of Easter figured out just right? No. It's a gift, Easter is. Let it come to you. Let the grace of Easter wash over you and surprise you afresh today. Think about that with me just in a couple of ways. First, think about the surprising event of Easter itself. What does Matthew tell us? That these two women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the other Mary, who comes along, and they're going to see the place where Jesus has been laid. They just go to see the tomb, right, that they had observed him being buried on 2 days earlier on Good Friday from a distance, right? They want to see this. Mark and Luke tell us that they brought spices with them to help complete the burial process that had become. They came to be mourners, but God had something very, very different for them on Easter morning. They come, there's an earthquake, an angelic being descends from the heavens, rolls away the stone in front of the tomb and sits on top of it. These guards that have been put in place by the Pharisees and the scribes to make sure no one would come and try to steal Jesus' body, they fall back in fear and wonder. They're almost like dead men, Matthew says. But these women stand firm and hear what the angel says, who says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You've come to look for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Come and see the place where he lay." Amazing. It's an amazing moment. No one was looking for this moment. This is just a total surprise, sort of theologically and philosophically for everybody. A good Jew would be looking for resurrection, but at the end of time, when God would come back to judge the earth, and it would be the resurrection for the righteous, for those who had done well by faith in order to be resurrected with God and see God in their flesh again, the way Job talks about. No Jew was looking for this, for a resurrection of a God-man in human flesh in the middle of the time for unrighteous people like us. No Greek or Roman person would be looking for this. They would be looking to escape their bodies, not a resurrection of a body. If you were a Stoic, right, you tried to put down your body through asceticism in order to escape it. If you were an Epicurean, right, you fed the body and just pleased the body in every way because you were going to chuck it and escape it as well. Nobody in the West was looking for this. Nobody in the East was looking for this. They had no use for the body in Eastern religions. Nobody's looking for this. It's an ultimate surprise. It's a surprise the way the Gospels present it to us, isn't it? Women there who are not in a first century space, particularly in Jewish culture, allowed even to give public testimony of record, and yet they're the ones there. They're the heroes, the disciples, the men. They all go away. They're afraid. These women are the ones that hear and see and stand and receive the message of Easter. All the accounts, you compare Matthew's with Mark's and Luke's and John's, and they're all different. They all have similar threads, and they tell the story of one massive account, the greatest moment in the history of the world, right? But all in different ways, just the way people tell in our time about differing accounts of massive events. Think about 9/11, all the different stories and angles of that, and yet one wondrous thing happened that was awful. Here, one wondrous thing happens that is the Axis Monday, that is the U catastrophe, that is the great moment that changes the world. Surprise of surprises. How does the early church take over the whole Western world in a couple of hundred years? How did disciples that were flee around everything, deny Jesus, become people willing to die for their faith? How does this happen unless the surprise of the resurrection is real? Just, I want you to think about two implications about the surprise of the resurrection event before we move on today. And the first of them is just this, is that it's surprising that if it's the grand moment of human history, if this is the Axis Monday on which the whole world turns, if this is the cosmic moment, why does God order it such that no person actually sees the moment when Jesus rises? That's really surprising. These women are going to meet him shortly after the resurrection, right? Others are going to meet him. Peter meets him. The two on the road to Emmaus meet him, right? But nobody sees the actual Easter moment when Christ rises. The stone is rolled away by the angel, right? Not to make room for Jesus to get out. He's already out. It's just to reveal that he's gone. That he resurrected, in fact, in front of these guards' noses. They must not have seen him or recognized him or seen it or been asleep or whatever. Their only response is fear when the angel comes. Nobody sees the resurrection moment. It's surprising, but I think it's God's genius. Because God, in the way he does this, is saying, every Christian, every person is on equal ground here. How do you believe in the resurrection? With a divine word from above, like the women got from the angels, bolstered by massive evidence to prove that it's true. We have this word from above in the gospel records about the reality of Christ's resurrection, bolstered by all kinds of evidences. No body ever given of Jesus. No ossuary box ever handed over. The growth of the early church. These resurrection accounts that are free-flowing, that don't present anybody as a hero, that have the mark of truth about them. The way the church grows. The way these disciples become people who would run away around Christ's arrest and betray him all, and yet become people willing to die for their faith. How does this happen unless it's true? It's a beautiful surprise. Every Christian is on the same ground here. So I encourage you. This is how God wants to come to you today, with a word from above and with lots of evidence to press into your heart the reality of Christ's resurrection. And just secondly, before leaving this point, the other thing that's so interesting to me here is this is the central moment of history, not just human history, cosmic history. And what does Jesus do when he meets these women? He comes around the corner, as it were, and says, hi, greetings. Just like, oh, good morning, you know. It's so beautiful. It's so Jesus. It's so God to do the extraordinary, the ultimate miraculous moment, the central moment that matters more than anything, in the most ordinary way. It's surprising, but it's beautiful. It's so God. It's so God. It's so Jesus. And it helps us too, because if you're going to experience Christ as risen for the first time or in a new way today, it's going to be in an ordinary way, by the sort of frail sermon of an old man, by hearing the music that we lisp in our best to give praise to God, by just sort of a greeting that we give in each other in the hope of Easter. It's going to be very ordinary and yet powerful and world-changing. That brings us to the second point. The surprise of Easter is, as the king rises, there is not only this unusual event, but there is this great power, right? As the angel comes, as he rolls the stone away, as he sits on top of it, the Roman soldiers fall away. They're like dead men, Matthew says, in their fear, right? But these women stand firm. Well, the women in the crowd here would say amen to that. Of course it's that way, right? But these hardened Roman soldiers, right, they fall away, who've seen battle and all this. They fall away in fear. And here are these women receiving this word of resurrection in Jesus, and they stand firm. They stand firm. It is the power of the resurrection that changes people, that changes everything. Think about this in sort of a personal scale, and then think about it on a global scale. Personally, our hope in Easter is Jesus will change me. Jesus has not only died for my sins, Jesus has been raised up to give me resurrection life. My life is hidden with Christ in God as a Christian. And so my hope is I'm a person of Easter power. I can cry out to God, bring resurrection here, God. Help me here, God, to step out of a living death into a living life with you. I just want to encourage you this Easter to reflect, maybe in a small group with your family, maybe on your own, maybe as you wake up early on Easter Monday, and just ask, God, where do I need resurrection in my life right now? Where do I need your power to break out please, Father, raise me up together with Christ in this space. Then think about it on the big scale, the cosmic kind of scale. What the resurrection powerfully does is prove that Jesus Christ, once for all, is the Son of God in power. It proves that his death accomplished its purpose to take away the sins of a whole world, for him to bear sin, to pass through death, and that yet death's bands could no longer hold him because the curse, the price has been paid for all who would put their trust in him, for all of his people across all of time. It proves that the gospel is true. It was, as Charles Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher, said long ago, the battle axe of the apostles as they preached and fought for a whole new world. It's the power that proves it's all true. It's a power that says Christ has died for you and your sins are forgiven and you have life in his name, and he's got the scars in his resurrection body there to prove it to you. Receive that, live in that, and share that. What we're going to see in a couple of weeks as we work our way through this end of Matthew's gospel for a few weeks is that resurrection powerfully moves us into mission. Resurrection is about joy and hope for you. It's about change for you, yes. It's about a confidence for you, yes. But it is to powerfully send you and I out in mission. If Lent was about putting things off to make room for how much we need Christ in his death for us, then Easter is about putting things on and saying, risen Lord, where do you want me to go forward with this gospel of resurrection in the world? Who do you want me to connect with? Who do you want me to give space and time to? Who do you want me to pray about to see Easter press forward in the world? There's surprising and a surprising event here. There's surprising power here. And lastly, there is surprising hope here. There's hope here. We read it in the call to worship, right? What does Peter say? Who had to access this over time himself, right? This resurrection, and saw that it was everything. He said, we're born again by the resurrection to be people of a living hope. I love what N.T. Wright says, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, proving that nothing that he did all along the way was a mistake or was by chance or was misaligned. It proves that everything that he was about is vindicated and true. And it proves that you can trust God to work in the same way in your life. God is not making mistakes in your life. Wherever the messes are, wherever the struggles are, wherever the hopelessness is, resurrection comes. Think about how Jesus meets people after the resurrection. Mary Magdalene in deep sadness. John gives you that picture. Thomas with all of his doubts, even a week later when there's piles of evidence and piles of testimony. He doubts. The seven who just go fishing because they don't know what to do. Peter with his shame and his guilt. Jesus, the risen one, moves into those spaces to give hope, to give life, to give gospel certainty that God is at work here to make all things new. I leave you with a couple of my favorites. Theo of Golden. Alan Levi, if you haven't read it, read it. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, okay? If you haven't read it, you need to read it. But there's a section in the middle of it where Theo, this man who comes to sort of live for a period in this small southern town, right? And he's interacting, and he interacts with this artist, Asher. And he says to Asher, you know, Asher, you can't have real joy unless it has an ability to live and thrive in the middle of sadness. In this life, joy can only endure if it has the ability to be planted inside of and even grow in the middle of sadness. And that's what Easter says to you. Whatever's still broken in your life or in the world, you can have hope there. You can have joy there. You can have confidence there. because Christ is risen. You have to hear this one from me on Easter. My favorite Easter preacher, Gerhardus Voss, the Dutch preacher, the Dutch Calvinist, said the gospel of Easter is like the sea breezes of heaven filling the lungs of our souls with hope. Let this gospel fill you. Be surprised with power and joy and hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We praise you. We exalt you. And we pray that Easter would come and surprise us afresh today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.